Happy New Year, everybody. You're listening to Transform Squadron, a podcast by ZoneBase.org. ZoneBase is a website about robots, monsters, and misadventure. So that's what this podcast is all about. My name is Rob, and you're listening to the January 2020 edition of the show. This month, I thought I would take time to just kind of talk about some of the things I'm looking forward to in the coming year. You know, New Year is a time for, I guess, resetting of things. You get a new calendar. You have to start writing 1 instead of 12 when you write the date. Just, you know, everything kind of refreshes. You know, you got taxes coming up, boo. All sorts of things. And there's stuff planned to come out throughout the following year. And that's just kind of what I wanted to focus on this month. But first and foremost, before I go into any of that, let me take a minute to talk about ZoneBase's new YouTube channel. I don't mean to make a very big deal of it. It's something I've been wanting to do for some time, kind of hemming and hawing on it for a very long time because I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And truth be told, I don't have a super lot of extra time, you know, throughout the week and stuff. And making videos can take a lot of time. So I plan to make maybe 1 or 2 a week. Nothing crazy. I'm not trying to be a giant YouTuber. I'm no Adam the Woo. I'm no Logan Paul. I'm Rob with a fan blog, and I just kind of wanted to make some stuff to go along with my blog. Know what I mean? So I'm pretty sure the videos are going to be kind of rough for a while. Probably not so great at first. You guys, give me some time to get in my groove here, and but please check them out, you know. In fact, I made one this past weekend. I had bought a inexpensive action camera, a knockoff GoPro, with the idea of this would be better than using my cell phone when I go out. You know what I mean? I could just use this, record stuff, and that would be better than just whipping my phone out every few minutes. I was totally wrong. That thing's resolution was bad. It was horrible to use. The buttons didn't work correctly. It's going back to the store, and the money spent on it will go towards better things. Now, the videos I'll be making for the site will be with a better camera that I have, a nice digital video camera that I've already got. And if I'm out and about without that camera, I'll just use my phone from now on. I have an S10. I don't know what I was thinking about. I think I just was figuring this would be easier. Just have this tiny little thing I could whip in and out of my pocket, you know. But I made a video of me going out shopping because I was like, I didn't really know what to make. I wanted to do something just a little fun to get started. So I was like, you know, I had to go pick up my groceries. I was going to look at the cleared out toy section in Walmart and go to my local Dollar Tree. Well, my Walmart was so cleared out, I was like, I am just making a video of empty shelves. So none of that was really worth putting up. But the Dollar Tree was great because my local Dollar Trees have really big toy sections full of blind bag goodies. Some off brand, some, you know, popular brands that make a discount version, and then some stuff that's just, you know, liquidated out last year's product, you know. So I made a video of that, and it's probably not the best video in the world. I know the quality's not good because I use that crappy action camera it's literally going back to the store this weekend. The specs on it made it seem like it would make a pretty good video. But I was watching it thinking, man, did I film this with my BlackBerry from 2009? What is going on here? All the colors were washed out. It was a mess. But the store was a pretty good trip. So if you'd like to watch the video, please be gentle with me. I'm learning this as I go. But please, if you just go to the website on the sidebar where I have the links, there's a link to the YouTube right there. If you use the mobile version, obviously, you're not going to see that, but if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you can click desktop version, and there you go. I'm sharing the links as I go. I would just straight out say the YouTube channel. The channel's name is ZoneBase, but as you know, a YouTube channel's name is like a series of numbers and whatever in the address bar. So until I get a little used to it and I'm better at linking at it, It's Zonebase on YouTube, I guess. And the link straight up on the website, zonebase.org. Pardon me one second. Pardon me. Transform Squadron's co-host, Rob's seasonal allergies, just spoke up, and he reminded me to get on subject here. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and I hope you check out my new YouTube channel. First thing I wanted to talk about, several of you know, I am a fan of independent toys. I like Keshi. I like art toys. I like soft vinyl. There is 1,000 names for this toy, and all of them are correct. I like soft vinyl figures. I really like Glios figures. I really, really, really like Glios figures. My last figure from 2019 was from the God Beast, a wave that hit right at Christmas time, and I ordered an Uzarian Manted from that set. Really good batch he did. And coming up this week, I don't know when you're going to listen to this. I don't know when it posts. And pulling back the curtain a little bit, I'm recording this in two segments over the course of 2 days. So bear with me a little. I'm a little of a mess right now. I'm unorganized and lazy. But this week, Battle Tribes, another favorite of mine, is doing a Halloween in January batch that I cannot wait to get my hands on. They've got their wrestler figure and just kind of plain black as a blank figure, I guess, for customizing, or if you just want an all black figure. They've got another one of, they got sort of their, warrior bodies. It's kind of like a hybrid of the wrestler body and the kind of future soldier body. If you follow Battle Tribes, you know what I'm talking about. And it's got all the different fruit heads like the wrestlers do. And it's a pumpkin man. It's got all these different pumpkin heads and a kind of like a skeleton bodysuit body, like a black body with a skeleton painted on there. It's probably the black wrestler figure painted. That's probably where that black blank came from. And it looks wonderful. It just looks wonderful. And the other is a Cyclops figure using the Barbarian figure in purple and green with fun little scars and stuff on the figure itself. It looks great. That Barbarian figure is wonderful. If you're into Battle Tribes, you know they come with 1,000 accessories, like various heads, all sorts of stuff. The wrestler comes with, you know, like different heads, like a lucha mask, you know, comes with like hamburger head and stuff like that. This has, you know, he has like an adventure dude's head and a Cyclops head and a dinosaur head and a cool wolf hat wearing head and stuff like that, you know, and it looks amazing. I can't wait to order those. The batch will be this week's Friday night. The timing's always off for me because they post, I think it's in Central Time, and I'm in Georgia. I think I'm in Eastern Time. What time am I in? I don't know. So it's always a few hours off, but I will be so militantly following it that I will have them bought ASAP the minute they go up. Really excited for this. You know, let's keep the spooky train going here. In summer, Ghostbusters Afterlife, or depending some parts of the world you're in, Ghostbusters Legacy, you know, it's got two different names. Honestly, I think Ghostbusters Legacy is a better name. I raved about the trailer last episode. You know what I'm talking about. That's coming out in summer. That's a perfect time for it. You guys all know I start slipping into the spooky stuff in the pre-Halloween mode for the site is in summer. I always kind of make a point to say Halloween and summer, last year I was saying summer is a spooky season, which I think is a better naming for just the fact that summer is a spooky season. You know, I've always posted extra horror movie stuff and things like that during summer. And that's just perfect. It gives me a lot of stuff to talk about during the time. Summer, you know, I made the rant before that summer is a spooky season, and it totally is. Like I said, all your camp psycho killer movies, Friday the 13th, The Burning, Sleepaway Camp. Where do they take place at? A summer camp. How many urban legends take place during summer? A lot. Just stuff happens in summer, you know. But also in Japan, that's ghost season. I don't mean ghost like Halloween ghost season, because they have a separate yokai season in summer, and then it goes into Halloween, which is the cute pumpkins and bats and witches and stuff. They totally do it too. And it comes around to the idea of it's hot outside, get in the air conditioning and tell some spooky ghost stories. And it totally works. And I mean, I don't have to tell you, we've all had that rainy evening in the summer where you just felt uneasy. It works. So it gives me a little more ghosty stuff to talk about this summer, because I will be in high pitch Ghostbusters mode. Hasbro is got the Master Ghostbusters license for this. They're making all sorts of various tie-in toys, including figures that the MSRP is $10. So I'm guessing they'll either be like the $10 Marvel figures they make for the Avengers and Spider-Man, whatever. They could be like the Galaxy Adventures Star Wars figures that are $10. They have a little more play features like chopping battle arm or something like that. Or it could be like their Power Rangers Beast Morpher toys that are $10. And some of them have like a ton of articulation. Some don't have as much, but those are like really good looking figures. You know, those are really, the Power Rangers toys are much nicer figures than you expect to get for $10. And especially at the size, they're, I guess, 6 inches, you know, they're nice figures. The Marvel and the Star Wars figures I told you about are nice figures too, but they aren't chock full of articulation or anything. You know, they've got the Marvel ones. I bought the Iron Man not long ago from Avengers Endgame, and he didn't have any leg articulation. I didn't care, but that's going to bother some of you. Being that this is a license and not a owned property like Power Rangers by Hasbro, I would expect something along the lines of the Star Wars or Marvel figures, being that little bit of budget for the licensing. It's got to come out somewhere, you know. And I don't think I care so much. As long as they're cool and I like them, I'll be happy with it, even if they only been at the head and arms. But a good solid 5.5, I would be happy with. I love a good 5.5. So that, there's been a rumor going that Coca-Cola is going to bring that back Ecto Cooler again for this movie, like they did the 2016 movie, but do a better job. And I really hope so, because it was impossible to get for me. Fortunately, my wife cracked the recipe before its release. And when I say cracked the recipe, when I did get some Ecto Cooler, I did a taste test and it tasted identical. It was literally the same thing. My wife found recipes, we tried it, and she got it down. She nailed it. It was perfect. It's been a few years since she's made it, so if we make it again, it might take a few tries to get it right. But I plan to be drinking quite a bit of homemade Ecto Cooler this summer. Although, I do have to say, it's probably not the most healthy beverage I could drink. I'm not a health nut by any means. It's just, wow, it is pure sugar water. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, it's a soft drink with sugar in it. I mean, there's a lot of sugar in it. I kind of surprised I made it through a couple of pitchers of that without developing a problem of some sort. But really looking forward to the Ghostbusters. You know, I really prefer the Playmobil Ghostbusters toys. I kind of hope they do something with the new movie. I don't think they will, but it would be cool if they did. Moving on, last month I talked a bit about Kong versus Godzilla, but I just wanted to take a minute to talk about it again because, you know, it's coming out in November and I'm really looking forward to it. One thing though, the toys from it are already appearing on shelves. Now, this isn't a situation like the G.I. Joe situation from their last movie, where the movie got delayed for a year and the toys were on shelves a year early. Playmates has taken over the license. Jack Specific had been making the Godzilla toys for the 2014 Godzilla movie and this year's past King of the Monsters movie. And they did a good job. Those are good toys. But what's going on here is Playmates, you know, makers of Voltron and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle toys, they're making the Godzilla figures, but they're not just Godzilla. They're making kaiju in general. Like, following Bandai's lead with their great vinyl figures, which you can get some of the Bandai Creation stuff at Walmart's now, and man, just for the past however many years of Bandai making excellent Godzilla toys, as well as kaiju toys in general with their, I have forgotten the name of the line, their higher end figures. Playmates is doing that. And the thing is, they've seemingly licensed some of Bandai's molds. So some of the toys are repeats of figures you've probably seen already at your local Walmart. Those are making repeats, and honestly, I don't plan to buy those again unless they have some sort of weird or fun recolor going on, like wacky new colors or something like that. Then I'd be down. The exact same toy in a different packaging? Yeah, probably not. However, that's not all. Playmates' own creations seem to be more action figures. From what I understand, they're a mixture of like rubber parts, vinyl parts, and such, more along the lines of just larger scale action figures that fit to that scale of those vinyl figures. And the first peaks I've seen of them, the first wave, there's a few turds in the in the pool there, but they look pretty fun all is. This first batch popping up has Kong from Skull Island, who doesn't look too bad. It looks like his head, it looks like he could use a better paint job, but as far as the sculpt and all that going, he looks pretty good, just looks a little mismatched on parts. Destroya, which I think looks great. I'm a fan of Destroya. I just love toys of him, and seeing a, you know, a company like Playmates putting him on the shelves here, go for it, man. It almost kind of makes me think of Trendmasters when they were making Godzilla toys in the 90s. And I hope these are successful enough to follow that suit so that we get some of the cool stuff like, you know, battle armor figures and stuff like Playmates did. That would be great. They also have a Space Godzilla figure, which also looks pretty good. The paint on their faces looks like it could be a little better. I don't mean that in a derogatory term. It's just when you're used to those Bandai figures and they're really well done paint jobs, and then you see, you know, where like the teeth could use a little, you know, the white's just clearly painted onto the teeth where it could have been detailed a little more. Stuff like that. They almost kind of look like early 90s turtle toy versions of Godzilla figures as far as the paint goes. Sculpting, though, seems pretty well done. Looks like they're supposed to. They look good, you know. There's a Gigan from, excuse me, Gigan. I always want to say Gigan. I don't know why. I've always done that since I was a kid. I just said Gigan. Maybe it's just from being a child in the South. I don't know. But Gigan is from his Millennium appearance in Forever Wars. Forever. Wow. Wouldn't that be a good name of a movie? Godzilla Forever Wars. But Final Wars. Godzilla Final Wars. It's based on his appearance from that, which is great because he looked amazing. He looked badass. He had this just cool, mainly blue deco with this. And, you know, Gigan has these big hooks for hands and like a buzzsaw on his belly. You know, he's just this robot, lizard, alien, monster thing built for killing. And he definitely looks like it in Final Wars. Now, at the end of Final Wars, he's rebuilt by the aliens and he has chainsaws on his, for hands instead of his normal hook appendages. And I really hope Playmates puts that out as well. Or at least it'd be cool if they had switchable parts, which I don't believe they do. But man, wouldn't that be great if you could just snap off those pieces and snap on those chainsaws? I think so. Seeing that they're doing that version of Gigan, I really hope they do Monster X. I really liked him from that movie. And then, of course, when he transformed into Ghidorah X, or just that a version of Ghidorah based on, I think it was Ghidorah X was his name. I'm probably blanking a little on that one. It was basically Ghidorah, but based on the Monster X skeletal look, looked amazing. I like that too. I think I'm kind of blanking a little bit. I think a standard Godzilla is in the wave, and he looked pretty good if I remember right. It might be another wave I'm thinking of with that figure. But the one that's got most people laughing is they have it just listed as Godzilla 2016, which would be Shin Godzilla. And they dropped the ball on that one. I'm totally getting it, though, because in its less than spectacular output is its charm. Body-wise, I have not a single complaint at all about the Shin Godzilla, but his head... You know, I've seen a lot of people in the various kaiju groups I'm in say he looked like a melted bootleg. I don't think he looks that bad. He kind of looks like if I'm going old school here. Some of you might know what I'm talking about. Some may not. Those old Imperial Godzilla figures, he almost looks like he could have been one of those. Meaning, he looks fine. Just there's some details lacking. Yeah, he really just kind of looks like an old school kaiju toy in that sculpting. If you squint, you could kind of see the Shin Godzilla. You know, like there's just some details missing, but it's in that I kind of like it. And I hope they make some cool repaints of that just because it just looks like one of those old Imperial toys. And I could just see glow in the dark ones at Kmart or stuff like that. You know, it looks great. I'm laughing because I just talked about how goofy he looks and said he looks great. I know that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but I guess you just have to have a mindset going, yeah, this one here, I like it because it's not so great. In October, of course, Halloween is a big deal to me. Everyone knows, you know, I'll switch over from the spooky summer stuff to the Halloween programming generally around early to mid August. Being that I'm particularly making a point to have a spooky summer look for the site, you know, it's already going to be kind of ghosty looking starting in like June. but, you know, the Halloween, of course, makeover in, yeah, I guess about the second week of August is when I normally switch it all over. And it goes, of course, it goes all the way through the end of October. I kind of rambled for a second there. Everyone knows Halloween's a big deal on the site. But I was trying to segue, and badly at that, into Halloween Kills, the newest Halloween movie that will be coming out this October. It's set up to be a direct sequel to 2018's Halloween. And that was a great one. At least I thought so. I've always loved the Halloween movies. It's one of my favorites. In my 20s, especially in college, that was like the thing I watched most in the world. That was like that was like my favorite thing in the world for a while there. And it always, really just stands out to me. It's like my favorite movie, I always loved it. And one thing about Halloween is every couple of movies, they completely reboot it. Like there was the original Halloween in 78. Well, they had to make a sequel and they made part two. Of course, which basically is the rest of the Halloween night, is a good way to tell the story of a sequel instead of just he gets up and comes back after. It's like, well, the end of the original Halloween, spoiler alert, 40-something-year-old movie. Wow, I'm old. But I'm as old as the movie. 40-something years later. Where was I going? But anyway... You know, it's like it makes for a good setup for a sequel. Just you know, the spoiler, you know, spoiler alert, it's a 40-something-year-old movie. That's where I was going. The movie ends when Michael's not dead. They don't know where he is, and the music's playing, and Jamie Lee Curtis is Boogeyman. But you know, it's the rest of the night. He follows her to the hospital. You know, he's still killing people, and that's where the whole they introduce Michael is Laurie's brother aspect to the storyline that stuck around literally forever. John Carpenter's said it in interviews. It's just something that came to him over a six-pack of beer while he was writing stuff for the movie, trying to improve it. And it stuck around. And, you know, at the time, I used to think it was great. But as I got older, not so much. I got kind of like, kind of wish they weren't. Well, part three was its own movie. At that point, they decided to make Halloween an anthology series. Of course, they already made two movies based on Michael Myers, so it didn't go over so well. And honestly, I love Halloween 3. when I was younger, I liked it. The older I get, the more I love it. I almost wish it wasn't called Halloween and just called Season of the Witch. It's called, the movie's named Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, okay? But I really wish it was just like Season of the Witch or something else, because that way it could get a chance to shine on its own. It's just this, it's like a Halloween TV special, like you would see. It's like an episode of Tales from the Dark Side that's feature length, you know? And I just love it. It's a Halloween special, the movie, you know, it's Halloween special, the movie. And I've always I liked it when I was younger. I love it now. My love of it almost rivals the original Halloween at this point, which is unfair because the original Halloween is like rated as one of the best movies of all time. And this is like, yeah, it's a B movie, but I just love watching it. Pardon me, seasonal allergies is speaking up again, telling me to move it on. Well, of course, for a couple of years later, when they made part four, they kind of did a little reboot there, got back on track with the Michael Myers storyline, and they had it in the plot that Jamie Lee Curtis was dead. You know, her character had died, and her daughter was living in a foster home. Michael gets out of a mental hospital and goes straight to that little girl. So you spend part four and part five, him chasing this little girl. And then part six, you know, spoiler alert, 20-something-year-old movie. Jeez. he kills her, but she's done had a child, and he's spending time chasing this baby. There's a cult worshiping Michael. Paul Rudd's there. Yeah. So they reboot the movie again with Halloween 20 years later, H2O, which was basically a observance of Halloween 20 years later. Now, originally in the screening time, they planned to work it in to be a sequel to part six that just kind of got things back on track. But they decided to go ahead and just straight up drop that and made it a direct sequel to part two, forgetting 4, 5, and 6, just straight up forgetting them. And the thing is, those weren't old movies at this point. You know, part six came out like maybe 3 years before part seven, you know, H2O. No one cared. People were completely done, forgot about those movies by then, you know. Pardon me. Yes, seasonal allergies. The weather is nice. But they set the new standard. They restarted, got Halloween back on track, back in the same vibe, back in the same flavor from those original movies. Then they made Halloween Resurrection and just shot themselves in the foot. That is the only Halloween movie I directly just do not like. I want to like it because I love the Halloween movie series, but I just didn't enjoy it very much. And the premise is great too. Basically, Michael finally kills Laurie at the beginning of the movie. Spoiler, almost 20-something-year-old movie. For the record, in H2O, okay, since I didn't cover it, Laurie had faked her death and went into hiding. So And now she was in a mental institution after the events of H2O. And he finds her and kills her because Jamie Lee Curtis wanted out. And then, you know, he's retired now. So he's living in the abandoned Myers house that he killed his sister in. And an internet-based reality show is filming a Halloween special there with, for those of you who remember the early 2000s, and, you know, some of you listening, I'm old now, so some of you are adults listening probably don't remember as well. There was tons of shows like MTV's Fear and other type shows where there were reality shows where you'd have, you know, college students or teenagers wearing cameras and going into scary situations and doing scary challenges. It was on that setup. That's a great idea. I thought that was a great idea. But turns out Michael still lives in the freaking house and they're locked in this house overnight and he's killing them, you know. And it's being broadcast over the internet, which it's kind of funny to think of 2002, someone watching a live stream like that. But I guess enough people had broadband and stuff at the time. I know a lot of people, myself included, still had dial-up internet. So it was a bit of a stretch, but realistically, it was probably on a real play. It would have been on a real player, and the video would have been about the size of a stamp. I would have watched it. But the movie just wasn't so great. Busta Rhymes plays the show's host. And I have not one thing against Busta Rhymes. He seems like a cool dude. He tanked during this movie. And the movie was just a giant turd. Some people like it, and that's fair. You know, this is just my opinions here. And it took a few years. They didn't even take time to observe the 30th anniversary of Halloween, because in 2007, the Rob Zombie filmed remake movie came out. They didn't even take time to say 30 years later, like they did with 20 years. You know, part four came out in the 10-year anniversary of the original Halloween. They didn't make a huge deal of it, but they did point it out in some advertising. They didn't care about the remake. They were just remaking it. And it's got its fans. It's got its dissenters. If you like Rob Zombie movies, you'll like it. It's not a very, you never feel like you're watching Halloween to me. You feel like you're watching a Rob Zombie movie. And I'm just not there, man. It's like, it was a remake of a movie, and the parts that were a remake were like the first 20 minutes and the third act. The rest of the movie was a Rob Zombie movie. And of course, the movie made a good bit of money, you know. It could have been called anything else in the world, and I would have been fine with it. It just never felt like I was watching Halloween to me. And, you know, a few years later, they made a part two to that, which was another Rob Zombie movie. Although I will say the opening segment with Michael infiltrating a hospital, basically being a bit of a playback to the original Halloween 2, that was good stuff. But fortunately, in 2018, Blumhouse, a wonderful production company that makes just great horror movies for the most part. They generally work with Universal Studios. You guys know I love them. They made the 2018 Halloween movie, which was great. It was a direct sequel to the original Halloween, ignoring all of the sequels. Sort of like they did with H2O, but ignoring part two as well, dropping the brother and sister storyline that they have been using ever since part two. Even the remakes adapted it. You know, it became so common lore at the point. And I was happy for that because, like I said, the older I got, the more I was like, eh, when it came to that. And then the way they even handled it was great. Like, they handled it like it was just some sort of urban legend that got attached to the story. Like, one of the kids asks Lori's granddaughter, hey, weren't they related or something? She goes, no, that's just something somebody made up. You know, just sort of playing it off like, eh. You know, that was just a story, you know. They completely reset it. And they did a great job. If I have really any complaints, you know, the movie is about Lori. her daughter, who's now a middle-aged woman, with her own daughter, who is the age Lori was in the original Halloween. And, you know, of course, it's going into a sequel. If I had any complaints about the movie whatsoever, the end, and it's not even a two-year-old movie at this point, so I'm not going to give too much away here. I didn't like the way it ended. I didn't hate it. I just felt they could have did that better. It just seemed a little much of a reach to me. And that was really my only complaint about the whole movie. That 100% is my only complaint about the movie. The movie, despite being a direct sequel to the original, is full of references to the entire series. You can see them throughout the movie. Some of them you don't pick up on right away. Just giving a little... I don't know if this is a spoiler or not. The kid who is I'm forgetting her name right now, Lori's granddaughter, the kid who's her boyfriend, and this is like a throwaway line. You have to really know your Halloween to get this. His dad is Lonnie from the original Halloween. In the original Halloween, there's a scene where these two kids go up to the Michael's house, the old Myers house door, and they're ringing the doorbell, like, go to the haunted house, knock on, you know, that sort of thing kids would do. And as he's going up there, Loomis is watching from the side, and he whispers, "Hey, get away from there." You know, he curses, but I'm watching my language for Kilby. You know, he tells him to get away from there. "Hey, Lonnie." That was a horrible impersonation. But it's a throwaway line during the movie. You can hear it a million times and not catch it. That's his kid. You know, that's one thing I always liked about the Halloween movies, is they always had even just little tangible links to one another. You know, it's supposed to be a small town in Illinois, you know, and some people live in the same town their entire life, and their families live in those towns, you know. And it's just kind of cool to see that, you know. I made a joke about Paul Rudd in part 6, but Paul Rudd's playing Tommy, the kid Lori was babysitting in the original. Now, in this new movie, Halloween 6, Anthony Michael Hall is playing the kid Lori babysat during the original Halloween. I guess the original guy is no longer an actor, but that's pretty cool. And when I heard the news, something made me just kind of Google up a picture of that kid. They don't look that unlike, like there's a resemblance there. He looks like he could be that kid older, you know, so it works for me. It really does. The little girl who played Lindsay in the original Halloween movie, her actress is coming back to play her as a middle-aged woman in this new movie. From what I understand, she is on Real Housewives of one of those Real Housewives shows, which is kind of funny to me that little girl grew up to be that, because she was also in this 70s horror movie that I love. It's not good, but I love the movie called The Car. And, you know, that's as far as I knew. She was in Halloween, and I recognized her in that, and that's all I knew. And then they announced she was going to be in this movie. It was like, oh, wow, they found her. Oh, she was on Real Housewives. I've never watched an episode. I don't know. But from what I learned, if the meme everyone knows with the screaming lady pointing, and the other frame is the cat kind of, yeah, and they kind of put the smarky text on it. She's the friend holding the screaming girl back, which is so weird. It's funny what you learn reading a news blurb for a movie you're looking forward to. But Halloween Kills is coming out this year, giving me something great to look forward at Halloween other than the season itself. You know, Godzilla's coming out in November. It's weird. For the first time in 5 years, I don't have a Star Wars coming out Christmas time. Yeah, Solo came out in spring instead of Christmas time in 2018. But for the most part, there's been a new Star Wars every Christmas. And now they're kind of letting Star Wars breathe off for a few years here. It's going to be kind of weird for me not having a new Star Wars movie at Christmas, though new episodes of The Mandalorian are due out this fall, so I'm not complaining. I love The Mandalorian. Now, Beast Morphers, I've really been enjoying, and that will show will continue into 2020. Now, rumors have been coming that I'm going to butcher this name. Ryu Solger, the current, or the past season of Super Sentai will be Beast Morpher's replacement in 2021. And maybe so. But, you know, that hasn't really been confirmed yet. Just rumors as is. I said 2021. The year is 2021. So I guess 2021 works as well, too, doesn't it? I don't know. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to Ranger Stop coming up. I think it's this June here in Atlanta. I'm really looking forward to that. You know, last year I went to it and had a great time. I'm going to do it again. This year, so far, they've announced some of the guests. You'll have the Rangers who I believe operate the show. Their names are escaping me at the moment. Excuse me, Catherine Sullivan, who played the second Pink Ranger in Power Rangers. Nakia Bros. I'm saying that wrong. Bros. She played the third Yellow Ranger in Power Rangers. And the second Power Ranger, Karen Ashley. I'm sorry, I'm butchering these names here. She played the second Yellow Ranger in Power Rangers. I think they run the show, honestly. But they'll be there, of course, as well as so far they've announced Bulk and Skull, which I am super pumped to see. They announced a voice actor whose name I'm blanking on at the minute. And they've not announced a few other people. And they'll just be announcing all the way up to the show. Usually they have, at the show in Orlando every year, they have quite a bit of guests. And Atlanta last year for the Atlanta show, they had quite a lot of guests, actually. So I'm sure they're just going to be continually announcing them as they go. I'm looking forward to it. I'll probably go Saturday for a few hours like I did this past year. That really did it for me. I had a great time, and I'm looking forward to it. Now, as far as Transformers go, we got Earthrise starting up here in, I believe they said it would start in spring. Now, I'm pretty sure some people will get it before others. Some guys will be finding it here in the next few weeks. Some guys, it may not be till like April or May. It's just kind of how it goes in your markets. Everyone wants to complain and say Hasbro under distribution. Maybe that has a little bit to do with it. It mostly has to do with the distribution of stores in your area, their distribution centers, and how things go. So just be patient. It'll show up. I know some of you are ordering them online, so you might get them sooner than others, but I'm really looking forward to it. I really am. I really liked Siege a lot. I've loved Siege. And as it's going into Earthrise, I feel like this is a nice progression of the line. You know, I've got the Astro Train, which I forgot where it was stated, but someone at Hasbro said they felt it was kind of a crossover figure from Siege into Earthwise. Being that, I guess that's just their way of saying he should have came out in Earthrise. I said Earthwise a minute ago. Earthrise. And I could see it. He seems more like an Earthrise figure from what I've been seeing. And is a great figure. So I'm really looking forward to Earthrise. As much as I enjoyed the spacey sci-fi alt modes of the Siege characters, having that traditional G1 80s Transformers, oh man, I'm all for it. And I love that pretty much all the larger figures have MicroMaster base modes. I was pleasantly surprised. I wasn't paying attention with Astro Train. I didn't realize until I bought him that he had that sort of MicroMaster base mode, as well as sort of a super mode if you use those components and attach them to his robot mode. But man, I was really pleasantly surprised by that. I just love MicroMasters. The site's name is Zone Base, after all. But I love that they haven't abandoned them for Earthrise. I love the fact that they haven't ditched them in favor of another small group. You know, the Battle Masters and MicroMasters are returning. The Weapon Masters, yeah, that's the right name. They're turning into, like, a lot of figures turn into the MicroMaster bases, and I love that. I hope this continues. I love me some MicroMasters, and having another year of them, hey man, I'm all up for it. Really looking forward to it. Cyberverse has really, You know, I enjoyed Cyberverse as is, but I've always explained it over and over again is because they were really kind of returned to older robot toys. But it seems they've got some traditional, more standard fare deluxe style figures coming out, which a lot of people seem to be eating up because the designs are great. So having them in these generation style toys that more people are accustomed to, that's all well and good. That's awesome. I can't wait to get some. And them also continuing with their standard Cyberverse toys is great too. These packs have been showing up, these sets with like a Warrior class figure, like Warrior class Hot Rod, the stealth version with some Sharktacons. They look like tiny turbocharger Sharktacons, a couple of those. I haven't gotten it yet, so I can't speak from my own experience, but that looks awesome. You know, I've got the original Warrior class Hot Rod and enjoyed it. It was just like a nice, like I said, I felt like I was holding a Brave toy, you know? It was just a nice robot toy, and tiny turbochargers are great. And I can hear some of you crying that it's not in scale or whatever. Whatever, just have fun with it, man. I can't wait to get more tiny turbochargers, especially from the Cyberverse series. So I think that's just a great box set there on its own. You got a Hot Rod and you got a couple of Sharktacons. It's fun. And people have been finding the Quintesson pack where you've got the Shockwave and Prowl from the Power Armor, the Spark Armor figures. Sans their Sparks Armor, goodness, their Spark Armor, just the figures themselves with a Quintesson, as well as some little doohickey they can wear. That's like their mind control device that the Quintesson's using. I don't know if that's going to play back to an episode of Cyberverse to come or not, but that's fun even on its own. I love stuff like this. This is actually absolutely great, and I can't wait to get a hold of these guys. Guys, you know I love BotBots. BotBots are such a cool and fun thing. They almost seem like, this is stupid. This is a stupid description I'm about to give him, but it's the best I can give you. They feel like I'm holding MicroMasters that turn into like things like cupcakes. You know, I was first excited for BotBots for the food related items because, like you, I saw them and thought, hey, McDonald's food changers. But then I quickly adapted to loving all the other little things like the laptop and all sorts of things. It's just a great toy line. I really like the pair of scissors. Just a great little toy line. But they got the construction quality. I just feel like they feel like MicroMasters to me. And, you know, I've really solidly favor smaller Transformers to larger ones. I say that and I buy all of them regardless. I don't know why I make such a distinction, but it's like, I was playing for hours with my Omega Supreme Saturday, and then I drove his little MicroMaster around on him. You know, I don't know why it is. I don't know why my brain works the way it does. It's probably for the best that I don't know, because then I would have to get it fixed and turn into another person. And be honest with you guys, at 41, you're stuck with me, okay? This is who I is. This is who I is. And I haven't been to jail. I haven't committed any crimes. I haven't committed any murders. You know, I've had my periods where I've been a butt, but I've been a butthead. Absolutely. I've been a jerk sometimes, but so far so good. You know, I haven't had like a speeding ticket in like 20 years. So I think I'm doing okay. So maybe just kind of work with me being a little crazy. Okay. But totally really looking forward to the next year in Transformers Earthrise. I'm going to admit, I don't like the name. I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all, but I don't like the name. It doesn't ring to me. You had Siege. You had Transformers. War for Tribalism actually sounds like a cool name. Should be that. War for Cybertron Siege. And the next in the War for Cybertron trilogy, Earthrise. What? Kind of sounds like a muffin brand, doesn't it? Or, you know what? A lot of times I'll go to Kohl's. I go to Kohl's and I'll buy me some clothes. And, you know, cause they have clothing in Sasquatch size. And I'll buy these shirts with these cool fake companies on them. Like, you know, Mountain Brewing Company or Izod Camping Gear. Yeah. Has anyone ever been fooled by these fake companies on an Izod t-shirt? I totally have. For the longest, I thought there was really a Salty Dog Cafe somewhere around me. It was just an Izod t-shirt. beer brewing company, Izod or whatever, Sonoma Outdoor Goods, that type of thing. And I've got this great one that's got like sort of a, it just says like spend time in the great outdoors. And it's got this great little outdoors mountain art. It kind of looks like some of those stickers you'd see on an RV. If you ever went on a road trip in the 80s, and that's as far back as I'm going because I'm only 41. But if you go, those old like stickers that would be on like camp lodge signs and that sort of thing, it kind of has that style of art. And it just says like spend time in the great outdoors. And it's like kind of a little retro-y, just a little nice looking. I could see like a scene like that with the sun coming up and saying Earthrise, you know? And if I need to go buy some more clothes. So if I go to Kohl's and I see a shirt that says Earthrise, I'm buying like a million of them. And I'll be like, man, I am the lamest guy up in here. But I admit it. At least I admit it. But yes, Cyberverse looking good to me. Maybe not you. Speaking for myself. But seriously, y'all, check out some Cyberverse. But BotBots, man, they got those cool gift sets coming out with the crane game and the gumball machine, just themed packaging. I want to get that so bad. So freaking bad. You know, they've had these, I got those bag clip figures. I think I spoke about them a month or so ago here on the show that were showing up at the Dollar Tree. Just little figurines that were bag clips. They had for sale at the Dollar Tree of like Optimus, Soundwave, Bumblebee, Megatron. Those are great. I jumped all over those. Now popping up are these great little bagged figures at the Dollar Tree. There's little figurines, little Keshi style figures and little bags. They're not blind bagged. The G1 box art of the character is on the bag. It's got a very G1 style packaging despite being in a bag. It's got the grid, got the font, you know, the storm, the lettering, the logo, the art that said art weird. It's got it all on there for a dollar. You can't beat it. I haven't been able to find those little figures yet, and I have been looking. So when I get them, I might just make a scene. Just go, yeah, but louder than that. I'm being quiet because it's like the middle of the day and I just don't want to yell, you know, kind of rude. There's other people around me, you know, there's people who live like to, I live in an apartment and there's like a older woman lives underneath me who's handicapped and I don't want to just yell and disrupt her day. You know, I want to be considerate. But I'm super excited for these bagged figures. I love stuff like that. I love the weirdo stuff like that. You know, like walking into a Walgreens and here's just strange merchandise. Like here's pencils with, wow, they got Cyberverse Optimus Prime on some pencils. Kids use pencils still? Well, I'm buying them. Stuff like that. I remember, for a while there was these crayons, these real thick crayons. I'd always see at the Dollar Tree and I'd always buy them. I think the first time I noticed them, they were animated. Transformers animated. They had them on the packaging and then they switched over to, the movies, just generic Transformers movie. And then before long, it was Transformers Prime. And I think I'm right on the progression of what all version of Transformers is on these crayons. But that was the last I saw of them was the Prime ones. I haven't seen, and they disappeared not long after Prime started too. Like not even quite a whole year, maybe about a year. I'm misspeaking there. Maybe about a year and they're just gone. No Beast Hunters, no anything else. Like I guess the contract with this crayon company ran out or what have you, and they just disappeared off of Dollar Tree shelves before stuff like that, man. I love weird stuff like that. I don't know how many of you remember the odd candy items for the 2007 movie that popped up at places like Toys R Us and stuff like a good half year before the movie came out. And then I think they're pretty much gone by the time the movies were out and you never saw them again. I just love weird stuff like that. It's too fun. It's too fun to get that weird stuff. I don't know what it is, but I like it. Well, guys, I have rambled on and off way too long here. Just a little peek behind a curtain. It's taken me almost a week to record this in little 5-minute segments here and there. So if it sounds too split up or cut up or whatever, that's why. My apologies. I've had a busy week. But thanks each and every one of you for listening. And I just thanks everyone for checking out Zone Base. This podcast, Transform Squadron. I wish I could say it more thunderous, you know, with excitement and explosions, but I can't. But this podcast, Transform Squadron, is the podcast of ZoneBase.org, which can be found at www.ZoneBase.org. You could find me. You can find me on Instagrams and sometimes Twitter at @SwirlyARoboRobSpringer. Now, this podcast is hosted by the TF Radio Network, which can be found at www.tfradio.net. And I'm absolutely 100% certain that Brian Kilby would love it if you checked out the various ways to support his network on the site. In fact, he might give you a hug or at least a high five. And everyone loves a good high five. So please do that. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'll be back next month with a brand new, hopefully exciting episode of this podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Bye-bye.